Good and gracious God, thank you so much for this wonderful day and this opportunity to deliver the message. Lord, I just ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit, and may this message be from you and touch all the hearts that hear it. In your name I pray, amen. Good morning. So, back in 2020, Amanda and Gina got together and said, hey, we want to do Lighthouse on Sunday nights, where we invite the kids and we teach them what it is we do at church and why we do that. And that's when I became involved with the youth ministry. We learned about why we praise and worship, why that's important. We learned about communion and the Ten Commandments and why those are important. We learned about the gospel readings and the ushering and acolyting. But one question stuck. One question still remained. Why do we even come to church? I mean, God is everywhere, isn't he? And Jesus assures us that where three or more have gathered in my name, I am there with you. So why do we get up and come to church on Sunday mornings? There are unique benefits to coming on Sunday that we can't get otherwise. So the first and most obvious reason is we come to church so that way we can learn. We learn from Pastor Law or other members of the church who lead ministries or teach Bible studies. And Moses even said to God on Mount Sinai, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know and continue to find favor with you. So Moses first had to learn from God, and then he went and taught the Israelites what he had learned. So we come to learn so that way we can go out and teach others, so that way we can plant the seeds of Christ in other people. Just as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:20, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Jesus is telling us to take what we have learned from him and go out and teach others. So why do we come to church? We come to learn so we can teach others. And that seems like the most obvious answer. It is. But I think just as important as coming to learn is coming to fellowship. We come to church to fellowship. We even have an entire ministry team that is dedicated to getting together fellowship opportunities for us as a congregation. Who here is on that fellowship ministry? Thank you so much for all that you do. So every time we meet together to worship, to pray, or even last month when we had the burgers and bingo, or in the next few months when we have our LCMC gathering or the ice cream social, we are praising God in doing that and doing what he has commanded us to do. So in preparing for this sermon, I tried to find just one verse that could summarize why fellowship is so important. And I couldn't find just one. It was impossible to find just one. So I found several. And here are a few of them. I wrote down which ones I could fit on the slide. There are dozens more. But I would encourage you to take a picture or write these down, and through the week, read them and meditate on them and just keep them in your heart. It would, of course, take way too much time to go through them each one by one, but there are a few that I want to touch on that I felt really summarized why it is fellowshipping is so important. And I got to thinking that if it's mentioned this many times by this many different writers throughout the history of the Bible, I like to think that it's pretty significant. So apart from having fun, what is the significance? Well, we fellowship with each other to become stronger in the word. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, just as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Constructive criticism can be a precious link between two friends. When iron rubs against each other, it shapes and sharpens. And in the same way, discussion and soul-searching conversations between two believers can bring obvious and significant change. And in fact, there was a moment last summer where I put my worldly beliefs, my worldly political beliefs, above what it was I had been taught through my faith. So my worldly beliefs became more important than my faith-based beliefs. And like many of you, I vocalized that on social media for all the world to see, including my Christian brothers and sisters. So not even 20 minutes later, I received a phone call from someone who I look up to theologically. This is somebody that I admire and respect. And they reminded me that I was directly contradicting my biblical principles and that I was putting my ministry at risk. And it was really hard to hear that. That was a very uncomfortable conversation to have with somebody who I admired, but that's the thing. It's not always pleasant to be called out by a friend, but it was definitely what I needed to hear. And I feel like it definitely strengthened me as a Christian. I needed that reminder that I was allowing the world to take over and not sticking to what I knew it was God wanted. We all become stronger in situations like these. When we're wrong and we have a trusted friend to tell us that we're wrong, it's to remind us that we are children of God and that we should act as children of God. Now, as imperfect human beings, we often stumble in our walk of faith. And it's so easy, especially in this day and age, to get distracted by worldly things. It's easy to fall prey to the temptations that are around every corner that are thrown at us on a daily basis. But when we do stumble, which we're all a bunch of stinking sinners, so it's bound to happen, just as it's written in Ecclesiastes 4, beginning in verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. So Cole actually reminded me of a moment at camp a couple of weeks ago. Now, you can take a look at me and just tell that I am not the most physically fit person. But I promised that camp was going to be a new experience for me. I was going to push myself out of my comfort zones. So I think it was day two we were there, and we were going to go on this one-mile hike up a mountain, straight up a mountain. And it must have been 150 degrees that day. You cannot tell me otherwise. And I was so close to the top, but I had really been struggling. I sat down and I said, I give up. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go back down and I'm just going to sit and wait for everybody. Well, about 10 minutes later, I hear Cole and Case, hey, Miss Susan, we're here to help you. And For the rest of the journey up that mountain, Case and Cole were there the every step of the way, telling me, we can go at your own pace, you got this. They were just encouraging me so much. And I got to the top of the mountain, and oh my goodness, that view was breathtaking. And I would have missed that if it hadn't have been for Cole and Case encouraging me to keep going. When I stumbled, they not physically picked me up, but they got me up that mountain. And that's what we do for each other. When we're sitting there just thinking, man, I cannot go on, that's when we call on our brothers and sisters, and they pick us up and they help us get back on the path. Now, imagine if you were alone and you stumbled. Imagine if I just sat there alone and Case and Cole hadn't have come up and found me. I would have gone back down that mountain and I would have missed out on a pretty spectacular view. If you had no fellow believers to pick you up off the ground and set you back up on the right track, how hard do you think it would be to get back up and continue on that path that God told you to be on? Or worse, imagine if every time we fell, our brothers and sisters kicked us while we were down. What if every time we sinned, we had stones thrown at us instead of having fellow believers pick us up, dust us off, and remind us to go and sin no more, just as Jesus said? Not a single one of us would be here today. None of us would be able to complete our path, our walk with God, without the support of those around us. Now, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he writes, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." We fellowship so we don't have to carry our burdens alone. I'm going to tell another story about camp. So there was a moment where we all sat around and we were essentially unloading our burdens on one another. We were sharing things that we have struggled with, that are struggling with. And through others around us, God worked to help us with those burdens. I was so amazed at how loving and supportive these young people were to each other. But I did notice that there was one student who maybe felt a little uncomfortable by these conversations. And that can be really uncomfortable to hear your peers going through so much. She never made it known. They never said anything. But later on, after camp, I took this student aside and I said, you know, next time if you feel uncomfortable, you can excuse yourself from the group. No, you don't have to have these conversations. And their response just blew me away. They said, sure, it makes me uncomfortable, but I know that's how we grow with each other as a group and in God. And in that moment, I saw so much of God's teachings in this student. I saw so much of the Holy Spirit come through this young person, wisdom well beyond their years. And my hope is that we all have moments more like that. My hope is that even if the burdens of others seem too heavy for us to help with, that we do it anyway, knowing that's how we are able to get through them with God's help together. Now, Martin Luther says that this is actually our duty as believers to help one another. In Concerning Christian Liberty, he writes, "Man does not live for himself alone, but also for all men on earth." And he goes on to say that we should be useful to others in all that we do. So what better way to live for others than to help them in their walk of faith and to help them glorify God in all that they do, so that they too may have eternal life with the Father. Make heaven crowded, right? That's the goal. And without fellowship, it becomes a little difficult to live for others. Without fellowship, it becomes difficult to strengthen ourselves and to strengthen others. Without fellowship, it becomes difficult to carry our own burdens. So I encourage you to come to church, come to Bible studies, come to Sunday school, come to fellowship events that we hold at the church. Create your own fellowship events. Host dinners, host Bible studies, go have a cup of coffee. Just be together in the Word. Just be together with your fellow believers. Amen.